Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to New Heights Educational Group Radio Show. My name is Kaden Behan, your host, along with our co-host, Sadia Ijaz. How are you doing, Sadia?
I'm very well, thank you.
Awesome. So we're very excited today to talk about our program, which is summer reading and why it's very important. But before we start, we have some announcements for New Heights. New Heights' next board meeting will be on July 23rd at 7 p.m. You can come to Pamela's home/office, and new board members may be approved. Also, Ladies' Night, Potluck, and Pie Day at Pamela's home office. This is on August 10th at 5 p.m. Please bring a dish to share and a pie. Please RSVP by August 2nd and join us for a night of fun and relaxation. You can contact us at 409-786-0247 or newheightseducation@yahoo.com to RSVP for these events or get more information if you're interested. So like I said, today we're going to talk about why summer reading is important, especially since it's summertime, and we've had a few weeks now to just relax, so it might be good to start thinking about summer reading for a lot of middle school, elementary school, and high school students. So why is summer reading so important? I did some research along with my co-host, Sadia Jazz. We did some research on different studies that had to do with academic loss over the summer, and a lot of it was contributed to students not doing their summer reading. So a specific study that we found was from Metametrics, Inc., and it talks about this problem in more detail. Every year, most U.S. students go to school for about 180 days, some few days more and some few days less. During that time, most progress along a learning trajectory and grow in terms of knowledge and skills. However, when summer break comes along, the formal learning process often ends, and many students, particularly those from low-income families, begin to show learning losses. In fact, research shows that many students experience learning loss when they do not engage in educational activities during the summer. Further, they score lower on standardized tests at the end of the summer vacation than they do with the same tests at the beginning of the summer vacation. This summer achievement loss is particularly evident in reading ability. While many students show some loss in reading skills over the summer months, low-income students who often do not have access to books in the home experience an average loss of reading, a loss in reading achievement of more than 2 months. This problem of summer academic loss, also called summer loss, summer setback, or summer slide, is more grave when we recognize that many students start school behind and struggle to catch up throughout their K-12 education. Scientific research over the decades has confirmed that without intervention, children who start school behind likely will stay behind, and that children who cannot read at grade level by the fourth grade will likely face an ongoing struggle to learn and even diminish lifetime success. So Sadia now is going to share with you a little bit more in depth about summer loss and the achievement gap.
Over the last few decades, National Assessment of Educational Progress, also known as NAEP, results and other studies have identified gaps in the reading abilities of majority and minority students. Emphasis on higher academic standards plus growing concern about the achievement gap and global economic competitiveness place a new spotlight on the importance of educational policies and practices that promote student growth. The federal No Child Left Behind Act, also known as NCLB, holds states accountable for ensuring that all students are proficient in reading and mathematics, and that achievement gaps are eliminated. As we more carefully consider academic patterns of various student subgroups, increasingly research points to summer academic loss as a primary source of existing achievement gaps. Researchers have found that summer academic loss is not equal for all students. The magnitude of summer loss varies by grade level, subject matter, and family income. Research indicates that summer loss in mathematics is similar among lower and middle income students. However, unlike with mathematics achievements, family income plays an important role in predicting the magnitude of summer loss in reading. While children from middle-class families show gain in reading achievement during the summer, children from lower-income families tend to lose ground. Several researchers argue that most of the achievement gap between majority and minority students can be explained and accounted for by the summer loss accumulated over 12 years of education. Mm-hmm. So, Kaden can explain how to utilize summer reading.
So now that we've talked about, like Thaddeus said, why summer reading is important, especially when we consider how much of a setback it can be for students who don't participate in reading activities over the summer throughout their entire education, this impact, obviously, you want to negate for your child and for their success. So here's just a small little ABCs of how to improve your reading over the summer, and then we'll get more in depth for strategies of stopping summer loss of academic success. So the ABCs of improved reading: access to books. It's critical that kids have access to a wide variety of books over the summer months, but we know that access alone doesn't make a strong impact. Books that match the reader's ability, levels, and interests, so this is B, for young people's reading skills to improve, they need to read books that align with their own reading levels. Reading books that are too easy or too hard won't help. So when you're helping your child to pick out books, make sure to monitor which books that they get, that you know what level of reading that they are, and so you can get something that's moderately challenging for them, that engages them, that's not too easy but not too difficult to understand, that they may either be uninterested or unable to complete this reading. Letter C, comprehension. As monitored and guided by an adult, teacher, or parent, a little bit what we talked about just recently, the most important piece to making sure summer reading is effective is the help of an adult who can ask questions and guide kids to better understand what they're reading. And this information was taken in part from James Cannon, assistant professor of education at Harvard University. So there's a lot of big shots in a sense, really focusing on this education issue of summer reading. So it kind of gives you a little clue that it is very, very important, and it's important as parents to make sure that your children are participating and actively doing their summer instruction, whether that be reading or assignments over the summer in addition to reading. Also, some strategies for stopping summer loss that have to do more with the than just reading, but also going out and looking for activities that help engage your student in academic areas over the summer. One way currently parents, schools, and communities use these three primary ways to stop summer academic loss for children: summer school, summer reading programs offered by public libraries or other community organizations, and the reading of books available in the home. Each approach has value for most students who participate. So for summer school, children from middle-income families appear to rely on school for only a portion of their academic learning. Children in poor families, however, rely primarily on school for academic learning. Summer school programs are one way to combat summer academic loss, but because of costs, they are not widely available. Despite the growth in popularity, summer school programs enroll only about 10% of the nation's school children. Further, most schools begin mandating summer school only after students have fallen behind in the regular school year work. However, I know that in previous radio shows, we've talked about different resources online that are free and available for students who are interested or parents who are interested to look up information or classes. One example is on iTunes U. They have many teaching classes from universities, if you're at that level, for students at that level, they also have instruction classes for lower levels for K-12 learning. So if your child or your family is not able to afford summer school or doesn't necessarily have the means of getting it unless they are actually behind, a lot of schools I know won't offer it unless you're actually failing, you can go online to your Apple account, many people have this, and you can look up different classes and different subjects that you feel your student might be interested in or might be struggling in, or if you just want to prepare for a class that you know your child is going to have in the upcoming years. And just brush up on those skills beforehand would really help improve their academic success once they get to school. Additionally, public library programs to promote summer reading are also very, very useful with eliminating the achievement gap over the summer. While many schools and their libraries are closed for the summer, public libraries provide free and accessible resources for reading and learning. Many public libraries across the nation sponsor summer reading programs for school-aged children. Statistics from the American Library Association indicate that 94% of libraries offer study space for children, and 95% of libraries offer summer reading programs, 89% provide story hours, and 83% work cooperatively with schools. While helpful overall, many poor children are still at a disadvantage. In many instances, public libraries located in poor neighborhoods are the first to close or restrict hours in a budget crunch. Even when the public libraries are open, poor children may not be able to get transportation to get there, a more pronounced obstacle in rural areas. Research shows that public library use among poor children drops off when a library is more than 6 blocks from their home, compared with more than 2 miles for middle-class children. So this is something just to keep in mind. A lot of this research is on the achievement gap between different classes of children financially and what hinders or stops children with less financial stability from being able to learn over the summer, which essentially, like we talked about, kind of snowballs into them not being able to keep up with the rest of the children and to succeed overall. So I wanted to include some of this information from the research, even though it may not hopefully apply to a lot of our listeners, but because it is important to understand, think about, especially I know that a lot of our community, our teachers, are interested in providing free educational resources to help students who can't afford it. So these are just some things to consider when helping children who seem to be behind, and these are the reasons why they may be behind. Also, like we talked about, books in the home is very important to have. Research has shown that summer reading is a single summer that is most strongly and consistently related to summer learning. The best predictor of summer reading is whether books are in the home. Unfortunately, many students go home to a text-free or text-poor zone. An analysis of data from the Early Childhood Longitudinal Survey of a nationally representative sample of more than 20,000 children entering kindergarten in the fall of 1998 showed large disparities across ethnic groups in the number of books available in children's homes. On average, white families reported owning an average of 93 books compared to an average of 39 books for black families, 41 books for Hispanic families, and 49 books for Asian families. Further, when the composite measure of socioeconomic status and number of books in the children's homes was included, the entire reading gap between black and white students and the most of the gap between Hispanic and white children was accounted for. There are still children with no books in the home, plus the mere existence of books in the home does not guarantee that they contain child-appropriate content, are of the interest to the child, or are written at a child's level that a child can understand. So basically what this little section is saying, that books are very important to have in the home. Obviously, the main thing that you need in order to learn is access to materials. And what they're talking about there are just disparities in different ethnic groups during the late 1990s, has a lot to do with income and the education of different families from different backgrounds. And so it's just good to consider that as educators, when you're trying to tutor somebody, you really want to ensure that you know what they have access to their home. I know that when I tutored a couple of students at my school, that I had to consider that they may not have different books that I would have access to study from at home. And so when you're tutoring or when you're considering teaching, and I know a lot of New Heights Educational Group obviously is about teaching and sharing information and educational resources and providing help in that way, you want to consider all these things that I didn't know about and probably many of our audience members don't know about as well, as to why some students may struggle with reading or math or science. A lot of the times it really just comes down to access. So now Sadia is going to share a little bit more ways to help keep your child from becoming a rusty reader.
I think parents play a really important role. In order for your child to also get in the mood to reading, you should also encourage and motivate them and, like, try to help them understand or take the time to tell them why it's really important to read. So some of the ways to keep your child from becoming a rusty reader over the summer are, number one, encourage your children to read books they enjoy for at least 30 minutes per day. Your child will likely to be more engrossed in material they choose by themselves than material that is forced on them. Number two, provide incentives for reluctant readers. For example, if your child enjoys basketball, agree to take them to the local court to do their daily reading. Number three, make reading a social act. Establish a time during the day when all members of the family gather and read on their own, or take turns reading the same book aloud. Number four, connect your reading to family outings. If you take your kids to an aquarium, consider reading a book about fish or the ocean with them later that day. The outing can help place the reading into a broader context. And there's still time for kids to pick up a book this summer. Take your children to your local library or bookstore and let them pick out a book they're going to love today. They will be better readers tomorrow for it. So that's there must be many more things that you can do with your children to encourage reading at home. And sometimes asking them for favors to read, even just a brochure, they might be excited that you asked them to do a favor for them. I knew I was. So that really is helpful, to just have them be encouraged to read like anything that they like or anything that, you know, is good for them. And it's something that they do like. So.
Yeah, I know a lot of times when I was younger, it would be an activity that we did. I think many children probably did this before bedtime. My mom would always read The Chronicles of Narnia. I think that was popular then, that she would always read those books. And I was always very excited to read them with her. And so definitely children are excited. I find that not a lot of children are necessarily not excited to read unless they feel pressured or that they're feel self-conscious of their ability to read in a school setting. But typically with their parents, I find that children are excited to be read to and to help read and to put out to show off different things that they know how to read. Also, and just another tip for how to help your child with reading and vocabulary, I know that the children that I babysit for sometimes what they do is they have a game night, and it's a vocabulary-esque kind of game. And you have a word, and then you have to match it to the picture. And so it helps their reading comprehension and their vocabulary while at the same time making it fun. And I know that, a lot, like I said, I'm a tech person, so these free resources that I find on iTunes U or Apple, they're also available in the App Store for iPads. You can find a lot of different good learning tools, with flashcards and things like that, that you can find. Also, I find that for older people, if you want to keep your skills kind of honed in over the summer, one of the great things to do is to teach other students and to tutor other students. I find that it really helps you to remember what you were taught, because I know I have terrible, terrible summer loss. I always forget nearly half of the things that I've learned over the course of the school year. The summer if I don't use it. So I find that tutoring actually really helped me to remember it, because I would have to remember skills and actually teach other people. And on that note, just because I know that New Heights Educational Group is always looking for tutors and teachers, if you're interested in tutoring or teaching over the summer, definitely contact us. You can contact us at our number at 419-786-0247 or our email at newheightseducation@yahoo.com, and we'd definitely love to have you. We're always in need of volunteers for teaching and tutoring, so definitely contact us if you're interested. So that about wraps up our show for today. Next week, I'm not here, but I'm sure Sadia and our other host, Pamela Clark, founder and director of New Heights Educational Group, will be there. And what we're going to talk about is financial tips for young adults. I know that as I'm going to college next year, and a lot of obviously seniors from high school who graduated are going to college next year, are going to have to start learning to manage their own funds away from home and to be organized in this way. And it's not only good for them, but it's good for students who are getting into that age range as well to start learning how to manage money. So next show, which will be July 20th, we're going to talk about different ways of helping your child manage their own money, their own bank account, and learn a little bit more about the value of money. I know I definitely learned a lot more about the value of money when I had to start paying for my own things. So it was definitely a process, but it is necessary. So join us for that show next week, and we look forward to having you. Thank you for the audience for listening, and thank you, Sadia, for being here with me today.
No problem.
See you next week.
Your shoulder.